We're glad to see everybody as we get ready to pick up in a new course. We're in course number three. We have finished course one and two, and then we'll have three and four. We should be wrapping up this Bachelor of Prayer somewhere around July. There's 14 weeks in this course, and then I'm working right now on the last one, which is called the Power Series. It's really, really cool. It's got some good stuff. And this one does too, but that one's going to be the kind of like, you know, the grand finale when they're doing all the fireworks and all that stuff. It's really, really a powerful one, the Power Series. And so we are in that area, so I'm trying to get that one done while we're getting this one done. Pray for Paul and Nancy. They're out traveling. They'll be back. They took Timothy back to school, and then they'll be back, I think, Sunday. And so say that again. When you finish this one, you'll have your bachelor's. I mean, that's...
No, this book.
Oh, kind of like that. Yeah, I guess. So, if you're wondering, Don's doing security out there. Hello, Brother Don. How you doing? Behave yourself out there and stay alert. All right? Anyway, so as we get into session three, we're getting into what we call the practical prayer life. The practical prayer life. And there are 14 lessons, but there's 12 steps that we'll be looking at for the first few weeks here, first few month or two here. There's 12 steps that will help you in your prayer time. And on lesson one, page number one, we're going to be experiencing what we would call the delight of the practical prayer life. And I hope prayer should be a time of great delight for the people of God. It should be a time that we enjoy, that we look forward to communicate with God. And we begin lesson one with the introduction. And in the introduction, there are five ingredients of a practical prayer life. Now, that word keeps coming up, practical, practical, practical. And when we take a look at in the dictionary, it simply means, practical simply means relating to practice or action. It's a prayer life that you are literally practicing on a regular basis. And resulting in spending time, more and more time with the Lord himself. The only drawback, and I don't think that this is a drawback for you guys, it's a plus for me, is that I'm not doing any PowerPoint. That's the only PowerPoint you're getting. So I'm not going to be pressing the things for you to fill in the blanks where you can see it. So we're going to find out at the end of each class, we'll look at each one of them to see how well you guys did with spelling. And you go pass yours to a person next to you and they'll grade it for you and all that. No, we won't do that. So I will make sure, I'm doing PowerPoint for a bunch of other things right now, and I thought, you know what? There was a day in church history when there was no PowerPoint, all right? And so I'll make sure that you get your blanks, and we'll make sure on that there. So we're on page number one, five ingredients of a practical prayer life. And here are some introductions or introductory definitions. The first one we're going to look at is the definition of prayer and then the definition of practical. Prayer defined, here it is. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6:6. Prayer defined, the Bible says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." So we all are familiar with that verse. And the Greek word that he uses for prayer or prayest is, you guys see what it says there? Who wants to be bold enough to pronounce that Greek word? Huh? Close enough. I think everybody would agree with you because nobody else wants to give it a try. Eh? And notice what it means here. In the Greek, the word for prayer means a desire towards. It means a divine wish or desire. The ultimate thing, Tim, is what? An extra binder? Yeah, there is. He wanted to know if there was an extra binder. There is. You need one? Now, I want you to notice here, this was all set up. Tim is demonstrating prayer. He asks me, and he has a desire, right? Is there an extra binder? So there you go, Tim. We work together really well, brother. Were you gone last week, Tim? No excuse. I don't think there's any excuse right now. I just don't ever quit, do I? He's just like, man, that guy just doesn't stop. So there's this desire, a divine wish or a desire. That's what prayer, that's what that word prosekamai that Anne had made it, told us about. But I want to say it's not just a divine wish or desire. I think it's a desire, as it says in the first one, a desire towards. And I think it's a desire towards God himself, okay? That's not in your notes. That's just me personally thinking. E.M. Bounds says this, one of the voices from the past. He says, prayer is the contact of a living soul with God. It's interesting when you look at some of these people. E.M. Bounds, I don't know if many of you have heard of him before, but E.M. Bounds was actually a lawyer at the beginning before he became a theologian, and he was a lawyer during the Civil War era. So he goes back a little ways. So that was what he says. Prayer is the contact of a living soul, that would be you, with God. Pretty interesting when you think about it. Listen to what Spurgeon says, Charles Spurgeon, great preacher in his day. Prayer is the slender, he always has a way of saying things. Prayer is the slender nerve that moveth the muscles of omnipotence. Omnipotence meaning all powerful. So your prayer is like a little nerve that goes up to God and it moves the omnipotent one, the Almighty, to act according to his will in that area. J.C. Ryle, who was a Bible teacher, says this, and this is kind of interesting. Prayer is the simplest act in all religion. It is simply speaking to God. It needs neither learning nor wisdom nor book knowledge to begin it. It needs nothing but heart and will. Now, we are studying, even Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. So there can be teaching that will enhance and instruct. And I hope these are helping you to have a better prayer life and to understand the benefits of prayer and the power of prayer that's available to us. But to start out, you don't have to have anything. You can just cry out to God and talk with him. It doesn't take anything but just the will and the heart. So prayer is defined ultimately as a desire towards, I would say God, or a divine wish and desire. The word practical is defined as, number one, here's your first blank, capable of being useful. Capable of being useful. That's what the word practical ultimately means. It also gives you a second one, of relating to, governed by, or acquired through practice or action rather than theory, there's your next blank, or speculation. So when we're talking about practical prayer, it's not just a theory that we're discussing. It's not just a thing that we're speculating. It's actually practicing and carrying out an action. A lot of people can tell you about prayer, but are they actually practicing it? And then the third one for your next and final blank on this page, it's designed to serve a specific purpose. So you have useful, number one. Number two, you have theory. And number three, you have a specific purpose. Did everybody get those? All right. How did you spell theory? No, I'm just kidding. Page two. We have scripture here. We have a couple passages of scripture. First one is Ephesians 6:10 and verse 18. Now, this here, if you look at that very first word where Paul says, finally, my brethren, this is actually a command. And he says, finally, my brethren, this is after we put on all the armor of God, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and here's an interesting thing, in the Spirit. It's a capital S, the Holy Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You and I are supposed to be praying for all the dead Christians. Right? Aren't saints the people that have already been granted sainthood after they died? No, saints are living, folks. That's a false teaching of Catholicism, okay? That when you... I am so glad that I don't have to die, and hopefully a priest will say, yeah, I think Kevin was fairly saintly. We'll give him that sainthood. And by the way, that's what you have. You have actually All Hallows' Eve or Halloween, and what precedes Halloween is All Saints' Day, and it's for the dead that have made it to sainthood. No, Paul's not praying, telling us to pray for all the dead people who have gone on that are believers. He's saying to pray for each other. We're the ones that need prayer. If they're true believers, they're already in glory, amen? By the way, you don't need any prayer once you get to heaven, amen? Isn't that kind of nice? No problems. If I came in on a Wednesday night in heaven, said, hey, how's your week going? Man, everybody's like, wow! And it's going to be an exciting time up there, amen? So that's where we're at. Now, he says that we are to be doing this in the Spirit. Now, this is not in your notes, but I came across this as I was doing some other reading. And someone has recorded this, which is kind of interesting, so I thought I'd share it. It says, to pray in the Spirit, according to Ephesians 6:18, means relying on the Holy Spirit to guide your prayers and to align them with God's will. Now, this year, being the new year, sometimes, I don't know about you, God's been bringing up one word, and it seems like it keeps coming up pretty frequently, at least in, what are we, day number 14 of this year? I think at least 6 or 8 times in my readings, one word continues, and the first time he's like, oh, that's an interesting word for this, and I undercircled it, and then next thing I know, they keep coming up, and it's the word align. God wants us to align with him. And so they're saying, to pray in the Spirit according to Ephesians 6 means relying on the Holy Spirit to guide your prayers to align with God's will, involving constant vigilance, perseverance, and intercession for all believers. He goes on and says the key aspects of praying in the Spirit is, number one, powered by the Holy Ghost, Romans 8:26, because sometimes the Bible says we don't even know what we are to pray, and so the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Then we are to align with God's will, which will align with his word. We are to be praying scripture. Praying scripture. You ought to write this down, if you would. And you can look it up later because we don't have time. But write down Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. And also we'll be doing Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. And then just put alongside that praying scripture. And you'll look at those verses of scripture and they will be worth your time where Paul is telling you how to pray. And he says, here's what I'm praying for you. And if he's praying it for them, it must be good for us. And so you can take that scripture and say, Lord, I'm praying for my church family and here's what I'm praying for. And you can actually read that scripture to God knowing that it's his word and it's his will for us. So you can be praying scripture. You're praying God's word back to him. You can't go wrong. And then it says here in your verse, praying always with, it says all prayer. That word all there actually means all kinds of prayer. And there are. There's the prayer of intercession. There's the prayers of praise. There's the prayer of whatever it could be, your desire, whatever they are, make sure you're praying all kinds of prayer. And we'll get a little bit more into that here in a minute in your intercession for others. The next one is Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13. I love this. Matter of fact, if you want to say, I need to memorize a verse of scripture this week, Jeremiah 29, just verse number 11. For I know, this is God speaking to you and me, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. What do you think toward us, Lord? Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then he goes on, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search with me for with all your heart. Now, those are great verses. That's a package to memorize, but at least get that first one, because basically that first verse is letting us know that God, folks, listen, God knows what he's doing. Amen? He knows what he's doing, and he's letting you know that I'm not mean towards you. I love you. I think thoughts of peace. My thoughts towards you are peaceful thoughts. I want you to have an expected end. And then Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 and 17, he tells us, rejoice evermore, and then pray without ceasing. So that leads us into our five ingredients of a practical prayer life. And these will be based upon Ephesians 6. Five ingredients of a practical prayer life. Ingredient number one, regularity. Regularity is your first word for the blank. Paul is about ready to give an apostolic admonition. Verse 18, listen to what he says. Praying always, regularity, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All prayer, all perseverance, all supplication for all saints. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint or to quit and give up. So we're seeing regularity. Praying always in both of those is what he's talking about. Go down to Matthew 26, 40. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, he picks Peter out, man, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I need you. When I need you to be praying, I need you to be praying. Brother Hallesby, who was a Bible teacher in Norway, says this, contact with the world and with the multitude distracts us and scatters our thoughts. For this reason, it is necessary for us to withdraw at regular intervals to attain a quietude to hear God's voice. Remember the early church, when Peter and John actually were going to the temple, they were going at the hour of prayer. They prayed 3 times a day, and they had specific set times that it was a regularity. There should be a time that you are regularly praying. The second ingredient, once you establish a regularity of prayer, the second ingredient is variety. Variety. Now we're getting into what I referenced earlier. Variety. In Ephesians 6:18, he says, praying always with all prayer or with all kinds of prayer. And I talked before about whether it's praise, intercession, worship, whatever it may be, in the Spirit, whereunto watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. W.H. Fonts, who is a Bible teacher, says this concerning prayer. Get out of the ruts of prayer. Some of us can only pray in one way. And consequently, we get tired of praying. The ruts of prayer are the deepest ruts in the world. There's a lot of truth to that. Sometimes we get, I got to go through this list, and we go to that, and we just do the same old thing over and over, and you got to be careful. Even when I open up my prayer map, it's the same thing that I'm praying every day, just for different countries. This month, I'm doing something just a little bit different, and I'm not just naming, Lord, I'm praying for, you know, France, these countries, and then I go up and find them on the map. And I put my hand over them to pray. But I'm also naming, I don't do it all the time, naming the leader of that country. I tell you what, there's some Bible names that are a lot easier to name than those guys, you know. Some of those people have the strangest names. And I would think if I had a name like that, I'd hope somebody would be praying for me too. Man. And So let me encourage you to remember, don't get in those ruts of prayer. Sometimes take time and just, you know what? Lord, I just want to take time today and I want to just thank you. I want to thank you for things I never thank you for. And I want to spend time just thanking you today in prayer. And it can be for things that you wouldn't even think about being thankful for. I am thankful that we have a nice, warm place to worship. I'm thankful, Lord, that we have, well, you guys have cushioned seats. But you could be praying for, how many of y'all have a pillow on your bed? How many of y'all like your pillow? Huh? Some of you do. Now, this might sound silly, but I'm not trying to be silly. Have you ever just said, Lord, I want to thank you for my pillow? I never have. But I'll guarantee you there's some people in our world that would love to have a pillow right now. It amazes me, driving to church here, we get coming down, is that what we come down, Center Street? Collins. We come down Collins, and there's always street people. And they got their carts that they're pushing that they probably stole from somewhere, or borrowed at least, right? And they got their whole living is in that cart. And they just look rough and tired. And I thought, and I'm not thankful for what I have? I mean, they don't have any of those things. And we have it all. Some of us even have those long body pillows, you know? But I'm just saying, take time to change your all prayer, all kinds. Lord, I want to praise you for who you are. I want to thank you for all of my family. That's an easy one. I love doing that one. And just don't get in the rut. Change it. Whatever it takes, have not only regularity, but variety. Take time to just worship, to pray, intercede, whatever it may, petitions. He says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, and this when he says this, therefore I say unto you, Mark is using an urgency here. I urge you. What things soever you desire, when ye pray, he says, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Knowing that it goes back to you're praying his will, and it will be performed. Ingredient number three, after variety, is intensity. Intensity. I'll spell that for you. It begins with an N. Intensity. I just have N, the number 10, and S-E-E, intensity. No, I'm just kidding. Again, in Ephesians, praying always with all prayer, and then he says, and supplication. Supplication in the Spirit. What does that actually mean? It is, the word supplication here is speaking about where you are pleading with the Lord. You're pleading with him. It actually, in the Greek, means to stretch tight. Like when a person is running a race, and all of a sudden they're coming to the end of the race, they don't just run. A lot of guys have been leading the race and come to the finish line and lose it because the other guy stretches out, extends himself, and nips the guy who should have won. And that's what he's talking about. In your area of supplication, you should be stretching out. You should be coming tight, become intense in what you're asking for in the Spirit, under the control and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Intensity. He says in Luke 18:6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. We talked about that where the widow kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and knocking on the door and asking, do me right, do me right. I've been wrong. And he keeps, this guy doesn't care about people at all. And she just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. He said, come on, stop. That's enough. We understand. That's what she kept doing, though, to where finally he said, whatever it is she needs, give it to her. Get her out of here. That's intensity. She was very intense. She was supplicating. She was stretching herself and pleading. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. That word helpeth means to undergird us. He helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, there's that Holy Spirit again, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Folks, think about this. We have Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for you and me. He's pleading to the Father for us. We have our prayer time when we are pleading to the Father in Jesus' name through the Spirit. And when we don't even know, I don't even know how to pray about this. The Holy Spirit says, I do. And the Holy Spirit begins to intercede on our behalf to Christ through the Father. It's an amazing thing. By the way, that word helpeth, I made mention, who helpeth our infirmities. That word helpeth means to undergird. It's interesting. So you have that word there. Then you have when the Apostle Paul was going to Rome and they get into a ship and the ship gets into a huge storm that was called Euroclydon. And the ship is getting beat so bad with all the prisoners on it and the Roman soldiers. It's getting beat so bad that it's beginning to get ready to crack and break apart at sea. And so they get what they call frapping. Frapping is like chains. It could be leather bands back then, whatever. And somebody would jump off the ship with strapping, go underneath the ship, try to get it back up to the other guy so that they could tighten it up. They had things that would tighten it up, and it would help hold the ship from breaking apart. That's what that frapping was doing. It's also in the book of Acts called that it was helps. It was undergirding to keep it from falling apart. Here he's reminding us that God's Holy Spirit will undergird us to keep us from falling apart in our time of stress, whatever we're under. Which takes us to another incredible verse of Scripture that ties in with this in Hebrews. We're invited in the book of Hebrews to come boldly, where? To the throne of grace that we might obtain what? Might obtain what? Mercy and what? And help. Help. Frapping, undergirding. It's the same word as it is here. In our time of need. So it's a very powerful word that God uses here. James says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now watch, the effective fervent prayers of a righteous man or a righteous woman availeth much. In other words, James letting us know that things happen when you pray that probably wouldn't happen if you didn't. Prayer changes things. It makes things happen. David Brainerd was a missionary, and here's a quote from him on his prayer time. Listen to what he says. My soul was exceedingly enlarged, and I was in such anguish that I pleaded with much earnest and importunity. When I arose from prayer, I was extremely weak and overcome, I could scarcely walk straight. Folks, that is some intense prayer. That is an incredible time where he was stretching himself and he was spending incredible time in intercession probably for other people. Now, David Brainerd, how many of you know who he is? How many of you never heard of him before, just out of curiosity? David Brainerd was a brother of ours. Of course, he was a Christian. He lived among the Native American Indians back in the 1700s. He had a very short ministry time. He only was in ministry for a whopping 4 years. 4 years is all he was before he died at a young age, actually. 3 years, is that what it is? Huh? Yeah, he's only in his 20s. Okay, and he wanted to win the Native Americans. How we got this quote here is in that ministry time, he was also whether you call it a diary or a journal, he was big on journaling, and he had all these journals, and those journals were found, and people began to read them, and then they would pass them on and make copies, and people started reading his journals of his prayer time and his work with the Native American Indians. And it caused a great burden in their hearts and influenced them to go out and surrender their lives to serve in these areas as well. Short-lived time, and yet great impact. And maybe it was because of the intensity of his prayer life. Ingredient number 4 is sensitivity. This is very important here. Sensitivity. again, in this area of Ephesians 6, we're repeating this because we're coming out of Ephesians 6:18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. And look at the next phrase, for all saints. Not your favorites. Not the ones that are nice to you. But all saints. Now, in that verse, he's telling us that we should be watching. That means we need to be alert, attentive. In this area of sensitivity, the more that you and I pray faithfully, regularly, in the Spirit, the more we will become sensitive to the Spirit's prodding. Have you ever, let me show you what happens for me anyway, the only way I can explain it, is I can be praying and out of the blue the Lord will bring someone to my mind. I'm not praying for them at that point in time, but God will bring them through His Spirit. He'll bring that person to my mind. That's being alert and sensitive that there must be a reason that God just brought that person to my thoughts. And I need to, at that point in time, shift to that person at that point and pray for them, all saints, at that situation. And so that's what it does. And I'm convinced that the more that we pray and that we are praying in the Holy Spirit under His guidance, we will become more sensitive and we'll see God directing us in areas that we never were planning on praying in our prayer time. He says, continue in prayer, and then he says, watch, be alert in the same with thanksgiving. Mark 13, 32 and 33. But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son of, but the Father. Talk about when Jesus returns. He says, take heed, watch, and pray. Notice that Jesus links those two together. Continue to be alert and continue praying together. Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Be alert to what's going on around you and pray accordingly. So there is sensitivity there. Ingredient number five, the last one, is an interesting one, and it is tenacity. Tenacity. It speaks of persistence. Holding fast. The synonym for it is determination and steadfastness. Have tenacity in your prayer. Praying always with all perseverance. Never giving up. Holding fast. Being persistent. Being determined. Being steadfast. And supplication for all the saints. So, the next word we want to look at here is persevere defined. A little bit more in detail. Here's your next blank. Persevere means to persist in an undertaking. There's your blank. To persist in an undertaking in spite of circumstances, opposition, and discouragement. With all perseverance, be persistent. It doesn't matter if the circumstances have changed. It doesn't matter if there's opposition that you're getting. It doesn't matter if you're discouraged. Sometimes you say, well, I'm just not in the mood to pray. Sometimes I wake up discouraged. What did I dream last night, you know? Because I went to bed pretty excited and pumped. I'm amazed how quickly we can go from a mountain to a valley. And nothing has happened even, other than maybe spiritual warfare is taking place that we're not seeing. Man, the first of the year I was reading, everything I was reading was like God was just like getting me pumped and excited. Day one and day two and day three and day six and day seven. And all the scriptures I'm reading are just like, yeah, 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 look at this. Here's another one. I tell them, well, look, it's almost like it's stair-stepping here for me, all these things. And then the next day, one of those days, I think it was, maybe it was Monday. It's like all those things that were getting me pumped, it's like, I don't feel like this right now. Why am I like this, Lord? You know, why did all of a sudden it change? Can you make me back the other way? You know, I, almost like he said, I'm going to give you the first few days of the week of the year, kind of a little heavenly thing. Then I'm going to let you struggle here to see if you will persist. Will you continue to pray? Will you still push forward? Will you still be tenacious in this area in spite of you being discouraged? Don't let our emotions be what dictates what we're doing. That's why I keep saying in the Spirit, in the Spirit, in the Spirit. He's the one that dictates things for us. Listen to what Halsby said here in the past. Certain requirements must be met if the art of prayer is to be acquired. In the main, there are two: practice and perseverance. Now watch, without practice, no Christian will become a real man or woman of prayer. And practice cannot be attained without perseverance. You can't keep practicing if you're not continuing to do it. So don't let anything, circumstances or opposition or discouragement, hinder your prayer life for praying for each other. Scripture there, he says, and there is none that calleth upon thy name. Now watch this. There is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us. Thou hast consumed us. Why? Because of our iniquities. The Hebrew word, there's two areas here if you look at your outline here. The Hebrew words, there's a phrase where he uses in this text. This is Isaiah 64, 7. First off, he says here, that stirreth up himself. There's nobody that stirs up himself. The Hebrew word for stir up is all capital letters, U-W-R. That's a Hebrew word. How do you pronounce that one? It's just a three-letter word. So I tried to pronounce it. And I start thinking to myself, wow. And by the way, that three-letter word means to arouse oneself from a heavy sleep or slumber, spiritually. And so as I was looking at that U-W-R, whatever, however you pronounce it, I started realizing it doesn't sound like a word, does it to you? It sounds like a groan. Yeah. And then I started thinking, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. There's a groaning that takes place. Look what he says here. That's what the word stirs up, or stirreth up himself. And then it says to do what? To take hold. And that's chazik. And it means to cling, to conquer, to grab, and to hold on with great force. That's what prayer is in these five ingredients. You know, we're going to see as we go through this that there's going to be a verse that keeps coming up quite often. And it's Jesus when he's asked Peter, what? Could you not pray with me? How long? 1 hour. I was thinking of this before I ended up putting it away today to bring. 1 hour. Do you realize that every one of us in here are given 24 hours in a day? Is that correct? None of us have less or more, 24 hours. And this is just a rough thing because it could vary, but ultimately we have 8 hours pretty much to sleep on average. Some people need less, some people need more, but you're given eight, you pretty much got 8 hours to sleep. That leaves you 16. You got 8 hours to go punch in and do your job and work during the daytime. So you got those, that's 16 hours, that's two-thirds of it. And then the last third is the last eight to do what you whatever you're going to do. And do we not think that we have the time to take 1 hour and give it to the Lord to desire him and spend time with him? would Jesus say to us, what could you not pray with me 1 hour? Look what it says here. Last verse, Genesis 32, 24 to 26. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his, Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, probably very painful. And as he wrestled with him, he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Folks, that is determination. That is tenacity. That is persevering. I'm not going to quit praying about this until you bless me with what I'm asking for, what I'm holding on for. How many of us are holding on, clinging to conquer, to grab, and to hold on with great force? Samuel Chadwick says, in these days, there is not time to pray, but without time, and a lot of it, we shall never learn to pray. It ought to be possible to give God 1 hour out of the 24 that he has given to us. Now we have on page 6 your time for your own journaling on what you think makes our praying practical and some of those areas there. Down below is our prayer points for tonight. We got about 10 minutes left. And it says here, based on the 5 ingredients which we have, regularity, variety, intensity, sensitivity, and tenacity, of the list of the 5 ingredients of a practical prayer life, select the one ingredient, just one, that you feel is most needed in your prayer life, and ask God to increase the impact of this particular ingredient in your daily praying. Yours might be different than mine, and mine different. I'm sure there'll be a variety of them. But which one is the most that you need an increase? More regularity? More variety? Being more intense? Or, Lord, help me to be more alert and sensitive? Or, I give up too soon. I need to grab on and hold on like Jacob and not let go. If I know that this is God's will and it's according to his word, I can hold on because it will come. And I'm not letting go until you bless me. So let's take time. And we're going to break up tonight in couples, not necessarily couples, but in pairs, and take with you 2 people, maybe together, 2 people, and say, hey, this is what mine is, and they'll tell you what theirs is, and then you can pray for yours, and they can pray for theirs, but you can also pray for each other's, and maybe any other requests that you might have, keep them together there, and just take a few minutes to pray. We got a few minutes here, but find somebody to partner with, maybe somebody that you haven't prayed with before. That kind of takes us out of our comfort zone. Takes you out of your, it's good to get out of your comfort zone every once in a while. And I will guarantee if nobody here bites, all right? And if they do, you come and tell me, and we'll do something about it later, all right? But find somebody, maybe somebody you haven't prayed with before, and just say, hey, I'm not really good at this. I'm just learning. And they'll say, that's all right. God understands that, amen? So find somebody, pair up a little bit different, and then I'll close in prayer when it's all done.